Chapter 17.
Come on, guys, Dave whimpered. Can't we slow down a bit now? I think we've got enough distance between us and them.
He was hugging Julian more tightly than he needed to, in the hopes that if he squeezed enough air out of the elf, he might be more inclined to take a break.
Stop whining, said Cooper. Just keep your eyes open for that wrecked wagon. When we see that, we can stop riding and look for Tim. It shouldn't be too much further.
But my balls are killing me, Dave groaned.
The magically summoned horse had only come with one magically summoned saddle, which Julian was sitting in. Dave was riding bareback behind him, constantly in danger of slipping off the rear of the horse and getting a hoof in the face.
Fuck your balls, said Cooper. We'll be there soon.
They rode on in relative silence for a few minutes. Dave tried to concentrate on the rhythm of hooves on the road. So focused was he in his concentration that he was lying face down in the road on top of Julian before he was able to mentally register the fact that their horse had vanished from beneath them. Cooper's horse ran another 30 yards before he managed to turn it around.
What the fuck? What happened to your... What?
Cooper's horse blinked out of existence, and he fell to the ground.
Get off me! Julian groaned.
Dave rolled off Julian and onto his back. Julian sucked in a great lungful of air. Dave was dazed, but otherwise not too badly injured. His armor had protected his arms pretty well, and Julian had done a good job of breaking his fall. He sat up and looked curiously at an arrow lying in the road.
That's odd, he muttered to himself. What's that doing there? Holy shit!
A wolf bolted out of the darkness and tackled Dave. Dave grabbed it by the neck and struggled to hold back the mouthful of snapping teeth, trying desperately to bite into his face.
Fucking hell, Dave!
Said Cooper.
Is your fucking underwear made out of bacon?
Help me!
Dave screamed. Cooper raised his great axe into the air, catching a gleam of moonlight on the massive blade.
Cooper!
A voice rang out from the side of the road.
Stop!
Cooper turned to look at him.
Tim?
He lowered his axe.
Damn it, cat! Call off Buttercup!
What?
Said a woman's voice. A vaguely familiar face peeked out from behind a tree. She saw Cooper and screamed.
Canis Lupus! She cried,
and Cooper suddenly had a wolf gnawing at his ankle.
Ow!
He said, and kicked the wolf in the face. It let out a yelp, landed on its back, righted itself, and growled at him just before it vanished.
Will someone please fucking help me?
Dave shouted. The wolf's teeth were dripping with blood, and Dave's forearms were torn to shit. Julian had only just managed to sit up.
Methylchloroisophiazolinone!
He shouted, pointing a finger at the wolf. A glowing, sparkly arrow shot out of Julian's fingertip and struck the wolf in its upper hind leg. The arrow disappeared into a whiff of smoke and burnt fur. The wolf let out a small yelp and looked angrily at Julian, baring its red fangs and drooling pink-tinted saliva.
Call him off, goddammit!
Tim shouted at his sister.
That's Cooper and Dave and Julius!
Julian!
Julian shouted. The wolf poised to lunge at Julian.
No, Butterbean, stop!
Shouted the female voice. Butterbean did as he was commanded, but continued to growl at Julian. He backed away, keeping the three of them in his field of vision.
Come here, boy!
The woman shouted. The wolf hesitated, but finally started to step further back.
It's okay, the woman said soothingly. They're friends.
Dave took a good hard stare at her. She was wearing a leather cloak with an antlered hood. Aside from her long pointed ears and almond-shaped eyes, she could almost pass for...
Catherine?
Said Cooper.
When I told you to go fuck an orc, you really went the extra mile.
Is that your wolf?
Demanded Dave.
This is Butterbean, said Catherine.
There was a cold edge to her voice.
Fucking animals,
Dave grumbled, holding up his bleeding forearms for her to see.
What's up with your arm?
Dave looked down at his leopard-spotted furry arm and quickly hid both arms behind his back.
Welcome back, boys, said Tim. We were just on our way to find you. You look like shit.
To be fair, said Dave, I've been mauled by wild animals twice in as many days. More than that, actually, if you count being kicked by a magical horse.
Ouch,
said Tim. Cooper snorted, and a glob of green snot shot down onto his chest. Catherine winced in disgust.
Sorry,
said Cooper, wiping the snot off with his finger and trying unsuccessfully to flick it onto the ground.
I've got a charisma deficiency.
No shit.
How did you get here?
Presumably the same way you did,
she said. That fat bastard you guys invited into our place of business sent us here.
Mordred,
snarled Cooper. He pulled the head out of his bag. Catherine screamed and clapped her hands to her face. Butterbean lunged forward and bit Cooper squarely between the legs. Cooper dropped the head in his bag, and his body hit the ground soon after.
Cat! Tim yelled. Catherine, please calm down! Call off the wolf! Please! I can explain!
You can explain that? She cried, pointing to the head. You guys are fucking animals! Everything they said about this game is true! Oh my God, what am I doing here?
Tears streamed down her face.
Get it off! Get it off!
Cooper screamed.
Come on, Cat! Tim begged her. Just hear me out!
Catherine stopped crying long enough to whistle, and Butterbean came back to her. Cooper was crying now as well.
Fucking dog bit my dick off,
he said, rolling around on the ground in agony. Blood seeped out from below his loincloth.
I'll give you 1 minute, Catherine said to Tim angrily. And if you can't provide me with a good enough explanation as to why you are totally cool with your friends carrying human heads around in their bags, then what?
Asked Tim. Dave guessed it was meant to sound challenging, but it came out sounding hopeless.
What will you do? Leave? If you know how, then by all means, lead the way. We all want to get out of here, Catherine. Just calm down and listen to me.
Catherine sat down and hugged Butterbean. She kissed him on top of his head, extra praise for biting Cooper in the balls.
I'm listening.
Remember when I told you about how we got in trouble, because Cooper chopped that guy's head off?
Yeah.
Well, that's the head.
I could have figured that much out by myself, she said. It doesn't explain why you guys are carrying it around. What is it? A fucking trophy?
Don't be silly, said Tim. We're not barbarians.
Cooper groaned.
Okay, well, technically he is, but that's not why he's carrying it.
Catherine's expression did not soften.
It's a conduit, he said.
You had better start using words I can understand before I turn your tiny prick into wolf shit.
Sometimes Mordred communicates with us through it.
Mordred? You mean the guy back at the chicken hut?
Yes, said Tim. The guy who sent us here.
Catherine wiped away her tears.
Show me, she said.
Show you what?
The head. Turn it on or whatever. I want to talk to him.
It's not a fucking walkie-talkie. You can't just turn it on at will.
Then how does it work?
He chooses when he wants to talk to us, Tim explained. I mean, you can try to talk to him, ask him a question or something. But if he doesn't want to talk to you, it's not going to happen.
Catherine looked down at the head. It lay on the ground next to Cooper, facing away from her. As she approached, Cooper crawled backwards away from her on his elbows, looking as though he was making an extra effort not to pass out from the pain.
Dave!
He shouted.
Where the fuck are you?
I'm right here, said Dave. What do you need?
What do I need?
He asked, as if he couldn't believe the question had been asked.
I need my fucking scrotum reattached.
Oh, right, said Dave.
He placed his hand on Cooper's forehead.
I heal.
That's not where I was bitten,
said Cooper between agonized gasps of breath.
Dude, I'm not touching your balls. The spell will work.
He refocused his mind.
I heal thee.
Catherine laughed and shook her head.
I so don't belong here. I should be down at Bar Bones right now having scummy men buy me mojitos. But no, I'm here in some strange fucking woods with my little brother and his geeky friends wearing antlers on my head, being attacked by giant monsters, and passing around a booze-filled goat stomach with...
She stopped, her eyes and mouth frozen wide open. A faint glow shone from the point where the palm of Dave's hand rested on Cooper's forehead. Cooper's eyes closed, and his breathing became heavy. A small moan escaped his mouth. His shoulder and arm muscles began to twitch. His fists clenched shut, and a spasm of pain rippled through his face. His hands opened suddenly, and his mouth widened into a grin. He began to laugh. It was a shaky but sincere laugh. The kind of laugh your heart makes after you bet money you don't have, bluffing with a pair of fives and win. The skin on his knuckles, split open from pounding on the door of the jail, grew and fused back together. The wave of spasms continued down from his chest to his abdomen, and then below it. Cooper let out a roar that shook the leaves on the trees. Catherine took a cautious step back, and even Butterbean cowered behind her. That was probably for the best, because Cooper evacuated his bowels in a spray that would have reached both of them otherwise. The spell coursed down his legs and sparked out at the tips of his big toenails. The roar ended, and Cooper lay on the ground, panting and cupping his freshly healed balls with his freshly healed hands.
"What did you do to him?" Catherine asked Dave.
Dave stood up.
"I healed him."
He touched each of his index fingers to the opposite forearm and whispered the words again.
"I heal thee."
The wolf bites melted away.
"Really?"
Catherine kicked Cooper, who was still rolling around on the ground with his hands on his crotch.
"Hey, Cooper, you okay?"
Cooper's eyes were still shut tight, and tears flowed back toward his ears.
"Just let me savor the moment a little longer."
"You know you shit yourself."
"Yeah,"
said Cooper, letting out a long exhalation.
"I know."
"Chaz needs you, like, right now,"
Catherine said to Dave. Ravenous also addressed Dave, but Dave only received it as a series of ear-splitting squawks and caws.
"Oh, great," said Dave. "Look who's back. Julian, can you shut your bird up, please?"
"He just wants you to heal him," said Catherine. "Tim shot him in the wing."
"Nice one, Tim," said Dave. "Next time, aim for the beak."
He stopped.
"Wait a second. You guys can understand him, too?"
"Sure," said Tim. "He's actually pretty cool when you get to know him. He's got quite a mouth on him when he's angry, though."
"I'm glad you made a new friend," said Dave. "But let's get our priorities in order. We need to band together and stay alive until we can figure out a way to get back home. Agreed?"
They all nodded.
"I'm limited in my capacity to heal,"
Dave continued.
"I don't want to sound cold-hearted, but I think we need to put the needs of our human, well, I guess human isn't exactly the word, our companions that came from our world, the real world, before the needs of our avian friends."
Scowling, Julian picked up Ravenous and placed him on his shoulder.
"Listen, Julian," Dave said, trying to sound sympathetic. "I know you care about the bird, but this Chaz guy is one more in the party that could help us survive a fight, and..."
"Actually," said Tim, "Ravenous is a pretty good scout. Also, Chaz is a bard."
"A bard?"
said Dave, as if he'd been punched in the gut.
"Seriously?"
He turned to Julian.
"All right," he said. "Let me see the bird."
A couple of minutes later, Ravenous was flying around, cawing joyfully and darting through the treetops.
"Shit,"
said Julian, wincing and wiping bird shit out of the bleeding claw marks in his shoulder.
"Next time Ravenous needs healing, remind me to put him on the ground first."
Cooper stood up and picked up the severed head. He looked at Catherine.
"We can give this a try after we take care of your, friend."
"I'm sorry," said Catherine. "Could you please, how do I put this delicately, go away?"
She was visibly trying to hold back a gag.
"It's just that the sight..."
Tears welled up in her reddening eyes.
"And the smell of you makes me want to vomit."
"Yeah, sure,"
said Cooper, shoving the head into his bag and skulking away. The group made their way back to camp. A starved old man and a little creature, no bigger than Tim, crouched over the prone figure of a man dressed in colorful silks. The little creature ran a long, thin finger through the man's shiny golden hair.
"Ahem," said Tim. "Shit,"
snapped the little creature, jerking its hand back.
"That was, fast."
"How's he doing?" The creature shrugged.
"Same as before. You guys find your cleric friend? Is that a goblin?"
asked Dave.
"Oh," said Tim. "Yeah, Dave Shorty, Shorty Dave. And this is Greeley."
"Are you the cleric?"
asked Shorty.
Yeah,
said Dave, stepping into the light of the fire.
"Stand back and let me take a look. He's all yours."
Shorty and Greeley went to sit down by a tree on the other side of the fire. Dave knelt down next to the man in the colorful clothes. He was sleeping fitfully and sweating. Dave opened his shirt.
"Who are your friends?"
Cooper whispered to Tim.
"A couple of guys I broke out of prison with."
"I can heal the wound,"
Dave announced to the group.
"Okay," said Catherine, hopefully. "Good."
"But,"
said Dave,
"there appears to be more wrong with him than a simple puncture wound. What did you say did this to him?"
"A troll," said Tim.
"Bullshit,"
said Cooper.
"There's no way a first-level druid, a second-level halfling rogue, and a fucking bard are gonna take down a troll. What did he do? lull it to sleep while you were slapping it to death with your dick?
It wasn't a regular troll, said Tim. It was a forest troll or something. Dave looked up.
A forest troll?
He thought for a moment.
Are those the ones who have the poisonous saliva?
Oh, oh, shouted Catherine excitedly.
He mentioned something about saliva before he fell asleep. Something about the troll going down on the spearhead before it stabbed him.
Well, said Dave, that's that then. I think he took some constitution damage. Quite a bit from the looks of it. The good news is that I can patch up the wound. I won't be able to do anything about the constitution damage, though. He's just going to have to rest for a couple of days and let it work its way out of his system.
Dave placed his palm on Chaz's forehead and closed his eyes.
I heal thee!
Chaz's body shuddered briefly, though there seemed to be no pleasure running through it. His head fell to one side and he threw up. None of this interrupted his sleep.
I've done what I can, said Dave.
He lifted Chaz's shirt to show everyone that the wound had healed.
Nice work, said Tim. We might still have a couple of hours before the sun comes up. We should get some rest. I'll stay up and keep watch.
Take a load off, little guy,
said Cooper.
We all got enough rest tonight in the dungeon. We'll keep an eye on things.
Thanks, said Tim.
He walked over to his bag, collapsed to the ground, and fell asleep almost instantly. Catherine walked over to where Cooper was sitting.
Cooper?
Cooper turned around and looked up at her. He had one finger lodged up to the second knuckle in his nose. Seeing Catherine, he quickly removed his finger and sucked it clean. Catherine suppressed another gag, and Cooper ashamedly put both hands behind his back.
Sorry about that,
he said.
It's my charisma score. I just can't help doing things that other people find extremely gross or offensive.
Catherine closed her eyes and steadied her breathing.
Well, she forced a shallow laugh. You always were kind of gross and offensive.
Is there something you wanted?
I want to talk to Mordred.
Cooper looked over at Dave and Julian. Dave shrugged.
Why not?
Cooper pulled the head out of his bag and placed it on the ground facing up at Catherine.
Far away,
said Cooper.
What?
Asked Catherine.
I just talked to it?
Cooper shrugged and nodded.
I found it helped to have it at eye level, said Julian.
He picked up the head and walked over to the tree where he'd been standing near when he had summoned Ravenous. He wedged it into the forked branches.
There you go. Now just pretend it's alive and connected to a body.
Julian stepped back, and Catherine eyed him dubiously. She looked at Cooper and Dave, who were staring back at her expectantly. She turned back and faced the head.
Hello?
The head gave no response.
Hello in there, she shouted. Anybody home?
Still no response. She turned around.
Are you guys fucking with me?
They all shook their heads.
Because if you are, I'll sick my wolf on you.
They all crossed their legs, but maintained that they were not, in fact, fucking with her. Catherine approached the head, moving slowly and cautiously toward it.
Mordred, I want to talk to you.
She moved in even closer.
I know you're in there. I'm not going away until you talk to me.
She moved closer still, searching for any sign of awareness in its cold, dead eyes. Cooper lowered his head, anticipating what was going to happen next. Catherine whispered,
Mordred?
Greetings, Shazana,
said the head in the tree, eyes wide and grinning broadly. Catherine screamed and jumped back. She took a moment to regain her composure, started to say something, and then stopped.
Who the fuck is Shazana?
Why, you are, of course,
said the head.
What do you think of your character? Were the antlers too much?
What is going on here?
She asked.
Why am I...
She waved her arms around, grasping for the right word.
Shazana.
It was a pre-generated character. I always keep a few on hand in case there are any surprises.
Catherine got right in his face and shouted as slowly and clearly as she could, like an idiot trying to communicate with a deaf person.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I'm sorry, said Mordred. Did you need something explained?
Yes,
shouted Catherine. The head looked patiently at her.
Why did you send us here? What do you want from us?
Me? All I wanted was to play a game.
The face wasn't smiling anymore.
Your brother and his friends are here because they'd rather act like clowns than play the game properly. You are here because you're a big bitch. Your boyfriend is...
He's not my boyfriend.
Whatever, said the head. It's regrettable that he got mixed up in this. He might have actually wanted to play the game rather than just get drunk and clown around.
Wait a second, said Catherine. She actually started to laugh. This is just about you being pissed off because some guys made fun of you?
What else would it be about?
I don't know, said Catherine. I thought maybe you needed us to retrieve the magical ring of social adequacy from the haunted island of Skullfuck and bring it back to you or something.
The head in the tree seethed as she spoke, right up until the very end, when it smiled.
Back, it said. Whoever said anything about coming back? Nobody's coming back.
What do you mean? Asked Julian. What about when the game is over?
The head's eyes looked at Julian.
You don't get it, do you? This game doesn't have an ending. It's not like checkers. You're in a different world, and you're going to be in it until you die. So make the best of it.
What happens when you go to sleep or go home or whatever? Julian went on. Surely you aren't going to hang out at the chicken hut running the game until we all die, are you?
Whether I'm here or not, the world you're in will keep going. I just control things when I'm around. You'll really want to be careful when I'm gone, though.
Why's that?
Because when I'm running the show, I like to keep things level appropriate. It makes the game more fun if neither side is guaranteed victory. You're all still very low level. There are creatures in these woods that you are being protected from right now. But when I leave, my protection goes with me.
The light of consciousness went out of the eyes. Catherine confronted Dave, Julian, and Cooper.
What the fuck did you guys say to him?
Cooper scratched his head. Dave bit the corners of his mustache. Julian spoke up.
I think Cooper told him to suck his big black men here.
Catherine looked at Cooper.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Julian started to explain, but Catherine cut him off.
Never mind. I don't care. I think this is all bullshit. He's not going to let us die here over some childish insult. He's just trying to scare us, teach us a lesson. After he's had his fun, we'll be back in the chicken hut, and he'll be halfway across town.
I don't know, said Dave. I mean, if you're a guy who manages to acquire a set of real magical dice that can transport your perceived enemies to another world without any repercussions, I mean, that kind of power must go to your head.
I don't buy it, said Catherine. No one is that big of an asshole. He's just a fat loser who got his feelings hurt and wants an apology.
I already apologized to him,
said Cooper.
Yeah, snapped Julian, right before you told him to suck your men here.
What the fuck is a men here? Asked Catherine.
It's a...
Shut up!
Ahem,
said Mordred. The group turned around to find the head alive again and looking down at them.
You do well to take me seriously.
If you want to be taken seriously,
said Cooper,
you do well to stop wearing a cape.
The others laughed. Cooper doubled over in pain. A stream of shit ran down the inner parts of his legs, and he fell to the ground, clutching his stomach.
What the hell is wrong with you? Catherine shouted at the head in the tree. Were you rejected by the girl in high school who slept with the chess team and the janitors?
No, Catherine.
Cooper struggled to say between agonizing cramps. He breathed in and out a couple of times, and Catherine looked down at him with unmistakable compassion on her face.
Don't blame yourself.
Julian and Dave started to laugh. Cooper might have been laughing as well, or he might have been having a seizure. It was hard to tell. Catherine walked over and kicked Cooper as hard as she could in the gut. He threw up. Catherine jumped out of the way of Cooper's vomit, and Cooper moaned as he lay sprawled out on the ground.
You know, said the head in the tree, you aren't the first group I've sent over there. If you don't yet realize the gravity in the situation you're in, you can ask them just how much of an asshole I can be. If you survive long enough, you're bound to run into some of them eventually.
Cooper continued to lie on the ground. Dave, Julian, and Catherine looked back at the head in silence. The head in the tree grinned wickedly.
That's right. Now you understand.
He let it sink in some more, and then switched to a businesslike tone of voice.
No, you aren't the first I've sent over, but I think you might be my favorites. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to grant you a full night's peaceful and uninterrupted sleep. And when you wake up, you'll have all of your spells and abilities refreshed and ready to go.
A tear rolled down the side of Catherine's face.
Oh, stop it, sweetie, the head mocked her. You're going to make me cry. Not enough? Okay, I'll go one further. But this is really stretching the bounds of my generosity. All of you who haven't made it to second level yet, I'll just go ahead and give you the points you need. How's that? Feel better? Good. Sleep tight.
Once again, the head lay dull and vacant in the tree. Cooper stood up.
Hey, don't worry, Cat. We'll talk to the others about this in the morning. We'll figure something out.
Catherine looked up at the sympathetic face of the half-orc and broke into a convulsion of sobs. Maintaining the presence of mind to seek out a spot relatively free of filth, she buried her face in his chest. Cooper did his best to avoid the uncomfortable antlers trying to poke him in the face and patted her head with a giant clawed hand.
Come on, guys,
he said.
We should get some sleep while we can.
We're supposed to be on watch, said Dave.
Mortar said he was going to give us a pass for the night, said Julian.
Do you trust him?
Good point,
said Cooper.
He might just up and decide to kill us all in our sleep or something.
If he wanted outright murderous, argued Julian, why wouldn't he send a giant dragon down to eat us all right now?
That's a fair point, said Dave. But I'm not going to give him the opportunity to catch us all asleep. You guys go to sleep if you want to. I'm going to stay up.
Over the course of the next hour, after everyone else had fallen asleep, the previous night's restlessness began to take its toll on Dave. His eyelids grew heavy, and Julian's reasoning started to make a whole lot more sense. He leaned his back against a tree and slid down. His ass had barely touched the ground when sleep washed over him. It was deep and dark and dreamless.